Welcome to the Yeshiva Shamayla. This is David Lichtenstein. This week we'll be speaking about hot showers on Yom Tov, something many of you have struggled with. From New York City, we will have Harav HaGoyin or Parashal Shechler or Yeshiva Rabbi Yitzhak Elchanan. We will have from Lakewood, Rabbi Mendy Abramson. He's the Mechaber of the four volumes B'nai Avram. We will have from Beit Shemesh, Rabbi Ari Enkin, he's Mechaber of the nine volume set, Dalad Amay Shel Halacha. We will hear three different views of the hot shower. We will also be speaking with Rabbi Abramson for some sukkah shilas. Let's say you're watching your weight, so for dinner all you want to have is a salad and a piece of fish or chicken. Do you make a bracha leishiv basukkah? Let's say you're on keto, low carb. What about you're going to a sukkah just to learn, you don't plan on eating? Do you make a bracha then? He's also going to be discussing problems with prefab sukkahs. Maybe a Ben Torah shouldn't choose one of those pop-up sukkahs. Should be a very interesting program. I want to mention something before we go to the Vart of the Week, but everybody's looking for mitzvahs. I have a suggestion for two mitzvahs asay, two really big mitzvahs asay, like not little ones. Kiddush Hashem and V'hafta L'Reacha Kamoicha. Kiddush Hashem, you know, it's Yerig Val Yavar according to a lot of poskim. V'hafta L'Reacha Kamoicha, the Gemara in Shabbos says it's Shakol Keneged Kala Torah. Ikrei Shol Torah V'ashar Pirusha Zul Gemar. What am I saying? We've had articles almost every day for the last few months about how Williamsburg, Borough Park, Flatbush, the Orthodox areas in the tri-state area have the greatest incidence of COVID. And it's been in the New York Times, in the Post, in the news, on the every channel, right, with pictures and interviews, recently as yesterday. So I have a suggestion, regardless of whether you think it's dangerous or not. Next week we're going to have a debate with Chabad Skishviach, who says the whole thing is pretty much our imagination, there's no proof, etc. But even so, the government that we are in requests that people wear masks. If you wear a mask, it shows sensitivity for others. Counter to what people believe, masks primarily help that if somebody has COVID, they're asymptomatic, if they cough or they sneeze, they don't give it to others. So when you wear a mask, what are you showing? You're showing concern for your neighbor, respect for the law, you're being a good citizen. And what do people look? What does the guy say? Or the Frayidi says, this is a respectful person. And at the same time, since most of wearing a mask is about not infecting the others. And by the way, here's something I said to somebody. Do you know 100% of the people who got COVID got it from somebody who didn't think they had it? So when you wear a mask, I'm not going to give it to you. So on the inside of your mask, you could actually write, Hinini Muchan Mezumin L'Kayim Mitzvahs Kiddush Hashem. And to be Mekayim Mitzvahs V'Hafta L'Reacha Kamaicha. Imagine two of the most important mitzvahs I say, better than Tefillah B'Tzibur, or Mikvah, or learning. It is two of the biggest mitzvahs I say, like the Gemara and Shabbos, and the Din that it's Yarek Val Yava, right? You could be mekayim them every time you wear a mask, where people see it certainly out on the street. Next week, by the way, we will be speaking about corona, because there will be, unfortunately, many deaths in our community that will be caused by the first day's Yom Tov, and certainly Simchas Torah, right, by people getting together without masks. You know, there's a Rav here in Muncie, who I sometimes daven there, who was Chorv Krank, he was a Chayla Masukin, he has COVID now, Baruch Hashem is getting a little better now, and in his shul, they're davening, they're saying Tehillim for him, cheek to jowl without masks. It's like Bill Belichick said, you just can't fix stupid. Or like they say in Yiddish, anar, you know, if anar nishtok in kasha, so like I like to say is that wearing a mask is almost an IQ, it's become an IQ test. So next week we're going to be speaking to the Rav of Central Mass, the Chabad Shliach. We also have Rabbi Sachs on. And some of the questions, the Rav from from Chabad is going to be speaking about. He's an anti-masker. He says it's Gzeris Hashmad and Abizrayu Davai Dezara and Michal Green. And Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, we're going to be speaking about what tshuva do you do if you infected somebody who dies. A woman who infected her father who then died asked this question to me. She said, what tshuva do I have to do? Would there be a din of Goyal Adam if you killed somebody? Even B'shoigi, Goyal Adam is only B'shoigi and Shoigi Karav Lamezid, right? Not if it's an oinus. Would a Kohen who infected somebody who then died be able to duchen, or as he called, a Shoifech Damim? Some of the questions we will be speaking about next week with Rabbi Yonason Sachs. I'd like to say a word. Sukkos is Man Simchaseinu, and I want to speak about the tyranny of choices. You know, I met an older bacha 2 days ago, and he's gone out with hundreds of girls. And every time he gets close, he told me he was mamish, deep in a parsha. What happens? What about all the other girls he didn't go out with? Maybe they're better. You know, there was a Harvard study done where they gave freshmen, they said you could a free photography class, and at the end of the class, you get to keep your picture. So they had 50 signups, 100 signups, and at the end, they were able to pick their two favorites they did. And right before they gave it to them, they said, you know, one of them, the school wants to keep. Oh, I didn't know that. I thought I get to. No, one of them were keeping. So half the students, they said, choose now. Which one do you want? And they had to make an immediate choice, and they did. And they were upset, but that was it. The other 50%, they said, you know, you have 4 days to decide which one you want. And once you decide, you're not getting it back. And afterwards, the ones who had the 4 days to choose remained much unhappier than the ones who had to make an immediate decision. We all hate making choices. Right? It's one of those things. We love freedom, but we hate making choices. And I see that, you know, when I went out to work, my wife was, Baruch Hashem, expecting our second son, and I didn't have a penny. I had no education, a secular education. All I had done after high school was in yeshiva. It was 13 years after high school. And I needed to earn a living. Well, if you're not educated, nobody offered me any jobs. So I said, you know, real estate, even a dummy could do it, which is why I got into. And Baruch Hashem, I proved that I was right. But now I get all the times calls from young, successful, you know, kids. They went to college, they're educated, and they have 100 choices in front of them, and they can't decide what to do. I could go into this, and I could do that, and they just paralysis from all the choices. I want to speak about the tyranny of choices. And, you know, on Yom Kippur, we end it, Hashem, Hu Elokim, Hashem. Why do we say Hashem, Hu Elokim? It's one of those many things many people never think about. Why does Yom Kippur end with Hashem, Hu Elokim? You know, what is Yom Kippur about? I'll give you a different view of it. There's a battle inside me and you. Inside. What's the battle? Kelev Hamanabeya Mibafnim, the way Ramban describes it. You know, there's a dark side to all of us. Certainly to me. According to the Ramban, according to all of us, we all have a dark side, you and I. You know what I'm talking about. You know, there's a chayte in me and you. He could be a ganef, a shakran, a bala shinhara. There's a million different things. He's hiding there. But here's the question. Who's the real me? Who's the real you? Is he that other side, the dark dog? Or is he the other side, the good one? What's the real one? So, you know, there's a story. Elisha Baravua, the Rebbe, was also called Acher, was the Rebbe of Reb Meir. Maybe he was the biggest. Look, Reb Meir held he was the biggest of his generation. And he became an apikoros, or he became a chayte, certainly. And the Gemara in Chagiga talks about how Reb Meir tried to convince him to do tshuva. He followed him, and he begged him, and he took him to yeshivas, and he debated with him. And Elisha Baravua said to him, I heard a baskel that came out, and it said, shuvu banim shayvavim chutz me'acher. And he said, and that's when I realized I couldn't. Now here's what's interesting. The Yerushalmi says the same story, but the Yerushalmi says, doesn't say shuvu banim shayvim chutz me'acher, but shuvu banim shayvim chutz me'Elisha ben Avuya. Different nusach. So I heard once over from Rabbi Yashuber, he said, what's the machlokes Bava and Yerushalmi? According to Yerushalmi, they said, look, you can't do tshuva, you're sorry. But according to the Bavli, they said something very different. Chutz me'acher. You know what? And he misunderstood it. What they were really saying is, you, Elisha ben Avuya, we love you. Of course you could do tshuva. Right? Ata poishit yad l'shavim, right? But chutz me'acher, we don't want the acher, the other side of you. The acher in you, that we don't want. And he misunderstood it. You know that the Mishneh Berurah in Hilchos Yom Kippurim says that when you klap al chet, you're supposed to bang yourself on the chest and say, Ata garamta li, you tell your heart. Ata, sounds a little bizarre. I mean, you're talking, who's the Ata? And Ata garamta li, it's your heart. It's that emotional side of you, the illogical, the anger, the lustful, the greedy, the competitive. It's not you, it's Ata garamta li. It's the acher in you. And you know, we see a similar, one of the most difficult avoidis, the Ramban and the Rishonim struggle, is the Soyer La'Azazel, Soyer Mishtaleach. What does it mean? You take it out and you throw it off a cliff. But here's, I think, something hint. The Gemara says about the Soyer Mishtaleach that when they bought them, they had to be bought simultaneously in one shop, together. They had to be identical. They had to be Doimim B'Mara, like twins. The Goydlam, one couldn't be bigger than the other. They had to be exact equivalent value. Like Rishonim, whether it's Ma'akev or not, etc. But they had to, like twins, an alter ego. And it was done by Goyrel. It could have gone either way. What does it say? Nidma lehem kechut hasaira. We can go either way. We can stay married, look for the good, or the other way. We can walk past, turn on that video, or not. So exact. And what's the avoda? We push, one we send away, and one is Lashem. That it's that other side. It's this two sides of the same person, of the same coin. Anger, divorce, abuse, thievery, lust, they're all inside of us. Which one is the real you? Now here's an interesting thing. Elio, famous story, the Nevi Abal said, we represent God. Elio says, no, I do. So Elio said, build a mizbeach, and let's see if you could light it. Or let's see, whoever a fire comes down from heaven and lights theirs. She says, in Nevi'el, Davin, then Davin, and Davin, nothing happened. Elio then said, take my mizbeach, cover it with water. Then he turns around to the nation. What does he say to them? Ad masai atem poischem al shnei ha-se'ifim. For how long is this tyranny of choices good, bad, lashon hara, not kosher, whatever your nisayin may be? He says, "Ad masa, how long are you going to tanz of beid chasanis? Em Hashem elokim helchu acharav, em habal helch acharav." It stopped, and they waited, and then he davened. The fire came down; it ate up his carbon and the wood and the mizbeach. And what did the nation say? Hashem hu elokim. In that one moment, it became clear to them what was true and what was false. When we have like that second when we say, I just rediscovered, I'm sure now, who the real me is, what happens? Hashem hu elokim. That's what we say. The last avodah of Yom Kippur. What the Chazal say? We hope after all this, you really recalibrated your compass, your barometer, and you know who is the real you and who is the acher. And you know what happens when we made that choice and we're not struggling, flat water, bottled water, sparkling water, this name, that, we just know what we want. You know what happens? We become joyful. The tyranny of choices is gone. We've discovered what we want. All that confusion and noise is gone. And you know what? And that's why Sukkos is Zman Simchaseinu. We said Hashem Elokim. We reconnected with the real me. We know who the Acher is. We know which one is the Lazazel. We know who we are. We've rediscovered our sense, our moral barometer. We said Hashem Elokim. And it's Zman Simchaseinu. At least for these 8 days of Yom Tov, before we go back into the world, we know who we are. We're with the ones we love. We're in Sukkah Shleimecha, protected in Tzela de Bemenusa. Zman Simchaseinu, Hashem Elokim. That's my take on it. Before we go to our guests, I'm going to ask the riddle of the week.
Well, Sukkot is here. You're going to be spending a lot of time in the Sukkah with your parents, your in-laws, your children, your siblings. I'm going to ask a few riddles. I'll ask them quickly. But you'll have a little bit of tumult by the table. The Shulchan Aruch says in Taf Resh Nun Zayin Aleph that a katan hayodea lenaneya, so his father buys him a lulav al tchinuch, and the Birak Halacha says it has to be a kashera lulav, otherwise he's not yaitza. But you can't give him a murkav, because otherwise he's not yaitza. It has to be a real lulav. Same thing in, let's say, in Arachayim and Semen Yuzayin, it says that a katan who knows how to wear tzitzis, father's b'chayiv l'chanchay, Semen Yishtubur says over there in Sif Katan Tess, that the sheer talus has to be roshay v'rubay, otherwise it's not chinuch. His klal is chinuch has to be with a chetzi shal mitzvah that is identical, otherwise it's not chinuch. It's a fake, and he's going to know it. Question is, in Yuma it says on Daf Ezamer Aleph, so what does it do? That if a child is 9 or he's 10, he does a half a day, he does a few hours, you start slowly. I don't understand. If the halacha of chinuch is, it has to be the same thing. If it's not the same chetzi shel mitzvah, he's going to get the wrong impression. So why by tainus do we say he could start with something that's less than the real thing? Riddle number one. Riddle number two. The Magen Avram says in Tafresh Beis of Katan Hay, he brings from the great Abudram that you don't make Shechiyanu on Hal. Interesting. Did you ever think of it? Why don't you say, beautiful, you say Hal and Yom Tov and Shechiyanu Shechiyanu. So he says a very interesting reason. He says, since Shechiyanu is only something you haven't done in 30 days, he says, every 30 days you have Rosh Chodesh, you never have 30 days, well, you don't have Hal, so there's no Shechiyanu. Chayr, it's a pshver. There's no Rish Chaydish on Rosh Hashanah, but Kesel Yom Chageinu, and I'm a Kaddish to Chaydish, so there's no Hal. Comes out from Elul all the way Sukkot, it's 45 days, it's more than 30 days. So you're able to say Shechiyanu on the Halal of Sukkot, according to the Magen Avram's Teretz. Why don't we say Shechiyanu when we say Hal? That's the second. And the third brain twister is, every Yom Tov we finish, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael V'yayim Azikaren, Mekadesh Yisrael V'yayim Akipurim, Mekadesh HaShabbos, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Rosh Chodeshim. What's the exception? The Gimel Rolim, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim. When you say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Chag HaSukkos, Chag HaPesach, right? Why are the Gimel Regalim, the Nachshlepes, the disenfranchised Yom Tovim, we are in the bracha, in the kedusha, the bracha of the kedusha, we don't mention the Yom Tov. Those are our three riddles. You have what to hack by the table. I want to say something. We have a listener who called us in with a pretty sad, a tragic request. He has been diagnosed with ALS. It's a terrible disease. I believe it's called Lou Gehrig's disease. And the FDA, there is a new drug that's come out that its approval time would be 3 years. And they're asking, they're putting a petition into the FDA for expedited approval so that the people who have it shouldn't deteriorate to the point where it doesn't help them anymore and they should live. So this Reb Daniel, one of our very chashuva, exalted listeners, has asked that every listener, please go to our website. We're going to put the petition that's being sent to the FDA in, sign it. We have thousands of listeners. Which we know is one of the greatest, to help our chaver, our yedid, who's suffering from ALS, and the schuzzalun d'ala b'ayishtein. So we are going to be putting this on our website. The first thing you see will be a link to for this FDA approval. Let's go to our guests.
have the great honor of having Hagoyin Reb Herschel Shechta, Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. He's also in the OU, Paskins, I imagine, most of the daily Shilas. What would the Rav say? Sukkis is coming, right? Somebody wants to share the Esrig, so they insist everybody put on a pair of those rubber gloves. The Chanaruch says that if it's not b'minai by lulav, the kaishik cloth, the thing that you put it in, has to be made out of lulavim, otherwise it's chatzitza. Would the gloves become a chatzitza or not?
Yeah, the gloves would be a chatzitza, but that's a question. Maybe that's only a chumrah, that you should. Likicha de davar acher is a whole discussion. So I think we assume that chatzitza is only a chumrah. I think we hold Mikra Din. There's no Din of Chatzitz.
Showers on Yom Tov. What's the Rosh Yeshiva's opinion?
To take a cold shower, we're mekel.
What about a hot shower on Yom Tov?
Hot shower, that's the machlokes.
In America today, is that considered Shavu L'chol Nefesh? Do you look at America? Do you look at the world? You look at our
yeah, the Pashto says in America it is Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Why should you say it's Nikva in the days of the Tanoim and it's stuck forever? Pashto says that argument is not correct. Some Gedolim say like that. Pashto says it's not frozen. The halacha is not frozen. If you live in a country where now it's normal, everybody showers, that should be Shavu L'chol Nefesh. And the Mishnah is according to the Shulchan Aruch, it really should be mutter to take a hot shower. But the Mishnah Berurah sort of recommends it should be machma like the other opinion, the Ramban's opinion, that the reason why you're not allowed to take a hot, you're not allowed to heat up water on Yom Tov to take a shower is not so much like Tesis says because Dov Shein Shabbat L'chol Nefesh, but rather because of the Gzera Yom Tov to Shabbos, the Gzera Sabbalonim on Shabbos. Shabbos you're not allowed to heat up water in order to take a shower. There's no Heter L'chol Nefesh. So whatever gzeris they made on Shabbos, they carried over to Yom Tov, even though the background of the gzeris doesn't apply to Yom Tov. So the Mishnah Berurah sort of recommends you should be choshish for the Ramban. But then he quotes from the Beis Meir that if you only turn on the hot water to the extent that you take out the chill, and it's not even poshrim, so that if it's lukewarm water, so then it's a machloikis achreinim, where the gzeris abalonim applies only to yatzo letters, or to poshim. But if it's less than poshim, you only turn on the hot water enough to take out the chill. So basically, you're not even doing rechitza b'chamin. So then Mishnah Berurah said, that's muta. That's what he quotes from the Beis Meir. So people ask me, that's what I recommend. Turn on, if you can take a cold shower, it's about a good. And if it's uncomfortable, so turn on the hot water only to the extent to take out the chill. And it shouldn't even be considered lukewarm.
But you're talking about on Yom Tov or on Shabbos?
Ayantav, yeah. Ayantav,
uh-huh.
Yeah. The Ramban holds the Gzeris Abalonim, which was made on Shabbos, carries over to Yantav.
So, yeah.
Even though the reason doesn't apply, because on Yantav it should be Heter Echol Nefesh. Ramban claims that it's always Dovah Shabbos Echol Nefesh. He doesn't agree with Tosis. He says, even Mizman HaTanayim it was Shabbos Echol Nefesh. Ramban was a doctor, so he thought that it's L'Refuah. It's healthy to take a warm bath every day.
Rashiv, I want to go back to coronavirus. Somebody called and they said they came home, they were very makil with coronavirus, and because of that they killed their grandfather.
Wow.
He got coronavirus from them. And he asked, what type of tshuva does he have to do? So my question to Rashiv is, what type of tshuva? Okay, but also, if this was the Zman HaBayis, right,
yeah,
there was a bezdin, would he have a din of a shaygig, a mezid, karav la'onis? How would there be a din of a goyal adam? Somebody comes to shul and they're not careful. They say, we ask everybody to put on a mask to distance, and they're locked on the ganze welt. He goes to, and he gets somebody sick, and the guy dies. If this was the zman abayis, would a goyal adam be allowed to kill the person? Would he have to go to an armiklat?
Could be. I don't know. You got to think about that. The Rambam writes that there are three levels of shogeg. Shogeg korv la'aynes doesn't have to go to the armiklat. Shogeg korv la'mezid, a pshia, doesn't help the armiklat. The girl Adam has a right to kill him even if he's in the armiklat. And if it's a shogeg, so then there's a din of armiklat. If he leaves the armiklat, then they have a right to kill him. Yeah, but here the government said, and the doctors say it's a suffix sakana, so you shouldn't do it. This is probably shegi korv lemezin. This is a pshia. he probably, the Goel Adam would probably have a right to kill him even in the Ari Miklan. Wouldn't even help if he goes to the Ari Miklan.
Does Rosh Hashiva understand why? You know, I had a fellow told me that he davens by a certain Rebbe and they're b'chol not makbid on, they don't, you know, on masks or etc. So I asked him, why don't you go to this Rebbe and tell him that a piece of your gefilte fish accidentally fell into the challenge. What should you do with the challenge?
Yeah, yeah.
And the Rebbe is going to say, I'm sure, that since, even though it's min shaloi b'minai, min shaloi b'minai, it's not batal, even if it was batal, chamira sakanta meisura, throw out the entire about a challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
So then ask the Rebbe, does he know anybody who ever died from eating fish and meat together?
Yeah.
Or does he know anybody who died from corona?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're so machme by fish and meat or throwing, does he know anybody who something bad happened because the nails on the floor of others? Does he know anybody who died of corona? Why are you so mekel? Do you understand why people who are shomrei Torah mitzvahs betachlis ahider, and if they went someplace there was no chal of Yisrael, they wouldn't. We had on people they wouldn't drink for 10 years. They didn't drink milk because when it comes to something that is the only mitzvah that says ma'oid, part of ma'oid lenaf shesechem, they're not being, what is the logic when we know people who could be made on, that the Yireim Ushleimim, why here is it something that's such a sakana, people being so megal?
I don't know. I think by certain groups, they don't want their children to go to college. So they say the Goyim are stupid and have nothing to teach you in the college. There's nothing. Chachma b'goyim lo tamin. There's no chachma b'goyim. Chazal say chachma b'goyim tamin. They have chachma. They don't have Torah. But they had chachma. So in order to prevent their children to go to college, they mean l'shem shemayim. They don't want them to fall in with apikursus. I understand. So if you ingrain this in the child's mind, that the goyim are stupid and they have nothing to offer, and college is stupid, and graduate school is even stupider, so then the goyim don't know anything. So we learn in yeshiva, and we give Rabbi Kivegas kashas and terutz, and we know better on everything. So then you think that you're smarter than the doctors. Probably comes from that attitude. That attitude is also a big mistake. That's against the Chazal. Chazal said, Chochma b'goyim tamen. The Chachmei HaTalmud, the Tanoim and Amoraim, they were on the cutting edge. They were following the doctors of their generation to the T. They followed everything. Meat, right? The Mogen Avraham writes that he doesn't think that it applies b'zman hazeh.
300 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. So the Nadi Yehuda has a tshuva. He says, well, we're not so sure. The Chassam Sofer writes that Rambam was a doctor, and the Rambam knew that fish and meat is not a sakana, so that's why he didn't quote that Gemara. And then Nadi Biuda writes that even though the Magen Avraham thinks that it's already centuries and no one ever got sick, no one ever developed tzaras from eating fish and meat, he says, but maybe there is a suffix sakana, so you shouldn't do it. Yeah, but you're right. If people are still nervous about the fish and the meat, that was what the doctors thought in the days of the Tanaim, in the days of the Gemara. So for sure, what the doctors say in our generation, for sure that's a suffix sakana, to be overweight and so on, and to do things that we know about our sakanas. That's a kal v'chaimer, we should be careful.
Okay, is it
people
possible?
People smoke. It's also a suffix sakana, sure.
I want to just ask Rosh Hashiva, is it possible that even people who don't think the Goyim are stupid, but we see, Mamish, I had a professor from Columbia who's very well known. Her husband is a Rosh Hashiva. And she said every single semester she has Jewish boy, you know, guys with yarmulkes. And every semester there's one boy who by the end of the semester his yarmulke disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And because of, she says, the kfira that they teach today in college with,
yeah,
you know, evolution, with, you know, 95% of Americans believe in a higher deity. 33% of scientists believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
An astonishing difference. And is it possible that the fear of secular has more to do with apikursis and, you know, than a lack of recognition? In other words, if we start recognizing how bright they are,
yeah,
what about what they say about evolution? What about the,
yeah,
about they say? So is it possible that it comes from that?
Yeah, I think it does come from that. Sure it does.
So you say, Rosh Hashiva say it comes... It comes from Roimimus. It's a chet that comes from Roimimus, not from Shiblus.
Yeah, I understand that. But that's a bir chinuch, because then when the children will be exposed to some chachma from the goyim, and they'll see what the Chazal said is true chachma from goyim tamen, then I realize Sheker Hin Chilalana Avosenu. My father told me Shkorim. It's not true that the Goyim are stupid. They don't know anything. There's the big Chachma. So you have now a lot of Hasidim are rejecting everything that their parents gave them a tradition. A lot of Lubavitcher and a lot of Satmer, they're all rejecting everything because the parents told them one stupid thing in the name of the religion that's not part of our religion. So then they reject everything. That's terrible. So to be overcautious is also a mistake. I think the Mesillas Yesharim has a line, Umin Azahirus, Shalot Lehizoher Yosemidah, not to be overcautious. Yaakov Avinu was afraid that maybe his brother Esau will see Dina, and he may want to marry Dina. So he put her in a box and he nailed the box. So the Chazal said that was a mistake. Overcautious is a mistake. So that's why she fell in Shechem, with Shechem Ben Chamor. Can't be overcautious either. You have to present to the children Dvarim Kava Yosam. You can't, a five-year-old child, you can't let him make decisions on his own. But an older child, you have to explain this is right and this is wrong. And within the things that are right, there are different Rochem and Avodas Hashem. And this is my truth, this is my Masor. But you can't just say, whoever does not like me is an apikoris and it's wrong. You can't say it's all wrong.
One last question. We got a letter from a listener. He said, I'm a shliach tzibur. He's a chazan. And he says, and I know I do a lot of averis. He says, and I think if the tzibur knew some of the averis that I did, they wouldn't want me to be the bal tefillah. And he's a chazan. He's a beautiful bal tefillah. Do I have a right to daven for Ahmed?
He says, Hinehani mimas. He says that in advance, that he doesn't deserve to be the chazan. The tzibur knows that everybody does averis. I think that's okay. They told me that in Rabbi Billet's Young Israel years ago, the chazan from Musaf asked Rabbi Billet, he doesn't want to say Hinani because it's not true. It's not Hinani Hani Mimas. So Rabbi Billet said he's not going to let him daven for an omid if he thinks so highly of himself. He thinks he's such a tzaddik that he never does averis. Yeah. We know that every tzaddik was a she'asetar. We all do averis. Some do these averis, some do those averis, unfortunately. Maybe Davin Farnamed will inspire him to be a little more medakpek.
Could Rosh Hashiva maybe give a bracha for the tzibur?
We should all be healthy. We should all survive this tzora, and we should all grow in Torah and Yerushalayim and have a good kibben shiur. Lanu l'chol Yisrael, the election in America should go kethi rotzen Hashem. The candidate who's best for the whole world should be chosen. And in Eretz Yisrael, the government should be, everything should be straightened out. We have a lot to daven for the Israeli government, for the American government, for the matzah of the whole world, and for our matzah of Klal Yisrael, Torah Mitzvah. We have a lot to daven for. Good Gibben Shtior.
Amen. Thank you so much. Joining us from Lakewood, New Jersey, is Reb Mendy Abramson. He's the Baal V'chaber of Bnei Avram. It's four volumes. The last one came out on Berachas Leisha B'Sukkah. He has a volume on Arachayim, discusses showering. He's a Talmud of Lakewood, Philly, Mir, Rabbi Sharieli, an old Chavrus of mine. He has smicha from Rabbi Yisrael David Harkiness, the Baal Nishma Shabbos. Welcome, Reb Mendy.
Thank you.
So, Reb Mendy, somebody wants to take a hot shower on Yom Tov. They were dancing by the Hakafis, Kashfa Maisa, how they got sweated up. Well, they just used to take every day. They're an Istanist. They take every day a hot shower. Can they or can't they? Tell us what of you. What did you write?
Well, a hot shower is come out. There's no one who says a regular hot shower would be permitted because we have Shitas HaTaisis, the Ramah Chayshish for it, that is it's not Shavu Chol Nefesh to heat up the water. There's a Chash Issur D'Raisa if you're putting on the hot water and you're cooking the water that goes into the boiler. It's not Shavu Chol Nefesh, so it's an Issur D'Raisa. And we have the Rambam Shita, which is Shmonar Chosh, and the Shavur brings both of these Shitas, that is Gezeres Balanin, you're not allowed to use warm water to bathe yourself. And therefore, by taking a hot shower, there's two Yisurim. One is not Shavachal Nefesh, and it's Shash Deraisa. And two, that you have the Gezeres Balanin. So the command no heter to take a regular warm shower on Yom Tov.
So just to explain what Remendi is saying, there is one issue is that Bishul on Yom Tov is only for something that's Shavu L'chol Nefesh, right? But this is not Shavu L'chol Nefesh. The Shulchan Aruch says Kol Gufay. And that would be a Deraisa, because it would be an Isser of Bishul Shaloi L'Tzayrach, in effect. And according to the Rambam, it's a gzeira of merchatzois, that in the merchatzois, they used to heat up the water shaloika halacha. So they didn't allow, because of gzeiras merchatzois, even when it's done properly, they didn't allow for... Now, Remendi, the shavalachal nefesh, you know, there's raid in the achrayinim where the shavalachal nefesh has changed or not. And
right.
Just as an example, as recently as 1950, most houses did not have showers. And even indoor plumbing with hot water, I'm sure the Chafetz Chaim never saw indoor hot water in his life, right? So given the fact that the world has changed, and now people, even in Eretz Yisrael, people take hot showers. So when I was a bachur there, it was not common. I used to have to go into my dira and pay a shekel every time we turned the dud on, the dud shemesh on, and you had to run around in the shower to get because it was so fast, the heat ran out. So is it possible that shavalachal nefesh has changed?
So it definitely is possible. We see in the Mishnah Berurah and Tavkaf Yud Aleph regarding smoking the Berlacha, it definitely does change. And the Achronim were machmir, that even though it used to be shavachal nefesh, it definitely changed. And Mistavra, that it would change nowadays, is a big tzad, and the Shemir Shabbos Gilchasa is mesupik about it. A lot of poskim, Lamaisa, Rabbi Yashir, and Nissen Karelitz, and Rishoma Miller, and many poskim, the lashon is that Lamaisa, Wachazal, Wachaveya, you can't change. And again, L'chayer, it is shavachal nefesh, but you have to be, Rabbi Zilberstein is quoted saying, you have to be a rajva to change the halacha. And again, these sorahs are very shvach. Lamaisa, it sounds like the pasha should be that it is shavachal nefesh. Rosh Hashanah Zalman is quoted in the Shulchan Shleima on the footnote that it is shavachal nefesh. I did see a videotape that he did say clearly it is shavachal nefesh. Rav Moshe Einikol said that he held it is shavachal nefesh.
I mean, is there a doubt that it's shavalachal nefesh today?
Right. So the problem with this is basically, I think, on the Pnei Yeshua, if you look in the Gemara over there, it talks about the Surim and Shabbos, and Daf Mem, maybe it's Lama Tesla Bays. If you look at the Pnei Yeshua, it sounds like they did shower very often, and still Chazal didn't let. You have to really go and try to understand that. But
how could they shower very often? Shower is a new invention, relatively.
I'm saying they bathed often. It was definitely not once in a month, once in a week.
I understand, but bathing is very different than showering. I'm saying bathing is a whole, you know, they had to schlep up a lot of water. I mean, it was, and they had to heat up, you know. They did it in merchatzayis, right? They didn't do it in their homes,
right.
That's for sure.
Right.
So it wasn't, again, the
pashas is, it does change, the pashas is. But Lamaise, the Gedolei Poskim were very, very
heavy. Can I ask you, Reb Mendi, do you know anybody who doesn't shower frequently?
But again, even if it is shavachal nefesh, you have the other problem of gzeiras merchatzayis. That's what Rabbi Miller and old.
Let's put this one aside. Shavachal nefesh. Right. We would agree that
it's debatable. Debatable if it's nowadays. If it's shavachal nefesh. Okay.
Okay. Now let's talk about the issue of gzeiras merchatzayis, which, like you said, is the shitas Rambam and shitas Harif, etc. So there's kama heterim that I believe you and your sefer bring, right?
Yeah.
By the way, you know, it's absolutely, I hadn't seen it before, but B'nai Avram, it's absolutely a fabulous, beautifully written sefer, really very understandable. But there are three or four different heterim, right? One is, one is that the Chazoy Nevadia, the great Rabbi Avadia Yosef, brings that there is no Gzeres Merchatzoyes in a person's private house. And like I said, they didn't have Merchatz. Nobody had a bathtub in their house, or certainly a shower in their house. As recently as 100 years ago. He says, the whole Gzeres Merchatzayis, we don't have, period, today, for the private, and there are no public Merchatzayis. I've never seen a public Merchatz. So he says, Gzeres Merchatzayis, for all practical purposes, we don't have today. That's one tzad. Another, I don't know if you brought this in the Sefer, but I honestly went through it quickly, but you do bring from Rev Tuvia Goldstein that a shower has a din of Aver. In other words, it's... And Aver would be Mutter. So these are two, you know, distinct heterim, and I'd like to hear your thoughts about them.
Right. So the first heter that Rav Avadia Yosef brings in the Arletzion and others is that Gzeres Merchatzayis was only in a public bathhouse. That's where the Balon did their Isser. But a private bathhouse, that wasn't where the Gzeres was happened. So Chazal were an Isser in a private bathhouse. So now that does not apply. The Mavuri in the Shulchan Acharav and Tavkav Yud Aleph Sif Aleph, a very long Shulchan Acharav, it's clear, it sounds like what he's saying is that there was two Gzeres Balanim. There was one is that the water that was heated up on Yom Tif, even which is when it's mutter to use that water. For example, panav yad raglav is everyone agrees it's mutter. You heat up water to wash panav raglav and the berlocha, as explained, hold even miksas aglav is allowed. That you're not allowed to wash even what's mutter in the merchut because that's the balanim. Now on that, Rabbi Avadi Yosef said that we don't have private bathhouse is not nichal on the gzeira. But if the Shulchan Aruch explains clearly from his words that there was another gezeira, that to wash your whole body on Yom Tif with water that was hucham on Yom Tif, even outside the merchutz, that is also aser. So who cares? Our bathhouse are not the bathhouse. Our private bathrooms are not the showers are not like the chazal. But you're not allowed to even bathe your whole body with water that was heated up on Yom Tif, even out of the merchutz. So who cares what our showers are? But lamaisa, even out of the shower, you're not allowed to wash your whole body. Rav Avdi Yosef is only talking about washing panav yad raglav in the bath. That's why he left. And the raya is because Rav Avdi Yosef clearly does not allow one or the Arlesian or anybody else to heat up the water on Yom Tov to bathe your whole body, to wash your whole body. Only miksas part of a miksas gufa he lets in the bath. From the Shulchan Aruch, it was two different gezeiros.
But he doesn't say that it's asi. You're saying he didn't say that it's mutter.
He doesn't. He says clearly only water that was heated up before Yom Tif you can use to wash your whole body based on the Shulchan Aruch. Mayim Shulchan Erev Yom Tif. But then he says, I think Miksas Gufa, he said that you could use even in an Arah Merchot. But he doesn't let you. Why doesn't he just say simply, you could heat up water and Yom Tif wash your body?
If there's no Gzeres Merchot Soyuz, what would be the problem?
There's two different Gzeres Merchot Soyuz. One Zez Merch Soyuz is to wash your whole body with water that was heated up in Yom Tov. That you're not
right.
Able to use to wash your whole body.
Right. And what's the other one? What is that because of? That's Xeris
Merch washing
Soyuz,
the whole body.
Right?
You wash the whole body.
My point is, if we don't have a Merchatz today, why would you have that Xeris?
I understand. Because
the same
story
says Merchatz. To the other one, it would apply
to not,
this
too. But Chazal for the Balon didn't let you even take a bath. Even add it to Lishtate. If you find a Shidcha Vav,
but that was in the merchatz.
I don't know because it says after you put water on your head, you can't go next to the heat it up a little bit. I'm just saying it's clear from the Shulchan Aruch Rav. Yeah, we have to down this far. I hear what you're handling the question, but it's clear in Shulchan Aruch Rav. He says beforeish that even according to the Rambam, the Yes Merchatz says Mayim Shulchan Biyamt. If it's clear that you're not allowed to wash your body, even chutz the merchatz, that's a lashon. So it's clear from the Shulchan Aruch Rav that those are his words.
I agree with you. So is it possible that you know, we have an outlier opinion, the Shulchan Aruch Rav? Is it possible that everybody agrees with him?
Yeah, no, but I told you, Mr. Bura also, Sivkotim, because Yadal, says Beferish also, Mayim Shulchan Biyamtiv, and now use it to wash our body. He says, Bein Lashitas, a Rambam, Bein Lashitas, Taisus. Nashai is according to the Rambam, what's the Isser? If it's Hucha Beheter, it's a Gzer Ligzer. Why can't I use that water? The same way you have to use water.
But they have a Sfara that it's all Huchlal in the same Gzer. You see that Sfara.
But again, there's no one out there, even according to Ibn Rav Avadi Yosef, obviously nobody lets to put up the water, heat up the water to wash your entire body Yom Tif. And I think it's based on the Shulchan Aruch Rav.
You bring in your thing from Reb Tovya Goldstein was matter it, right?
Right, so now let's go to that far. So Reb Tovya Goldstein had, I spoke to a few of his Talmidim, it was very controversial what he held. But Lamais, at the end of the day, it was made 5-6 Talmidim that he did let showering Yom Tif a regular Lashon was a regular warm shower that you take. Now, his far was because whenever you take a shower, I think this far was that you're never washing your whole body at once. And if you try it, I tried it myself. The water is never really going on most of your body at one time. For sure, not the whole body, and even right is not. So it could be Reb Tovya held that the whole gezeira of Chazal was only when it's possible to wash, because the gezeira of Merchasais was washing your whole body at once. So it could be that if it's impossible.
In other words, Merchasais was basically like a big bathtub, a giant bathtub.
Right. Exactly. So in a shower, which you can't wash your whole body, or even rive, I think that's Matthias. Someone said not, but I think I tried it. I was paying attention. It doesn't fall and rive your body at once. So that wasn't never, Chazal never asked that. So I think that's the Oymikar of Tivya's Sora. It's a very big Kiddush. And again, a Talmidim Rav Tovya, they go with this. And someone told me he showers based on Rav Tovya's Heter. But it's not, it's very, he didn't explain it exactly, but I think this is Oymikar Sora. And I have a big Arichas about it. In the Sefer, I didn't want to mention it exactly because it was a huge, huge Kiddush. But
okay.
So regarding a pop-up sukkah, it's also in the gate to a restaurant sukkah. It's very interesting that there's a famous Rama in Tafish Mem Sevdalit. He brings a Mordechai. A sukkah has to be right to eat and to sleep. If it's not right to eat or not right to sleep, the sukkah is a apostle sukkah in Gansan. And that's how come out all the places go. There is a Chacham Tzvi and No Mar Kitzia and others that argue, but the Mishnah Berurah says it has to be Zohar Me'oid Kedivri Ramah. That's the Mahalach of all the Achronim. You have to be Machmer. Fine. So if someone makes a Sukkah in a Makim that he'd be afraid for his life, for example, he would put up a pop-up Sukkah in, in a neighborhood that he would be petrified to sleep there at night and to list him, not just stealing his money, but he'd be scared for his life. The Sukkah is obviously not a good Sukkah. And sometimes you have restaurant sukkahs, for example, or even it could be a shul sukkah. It could be in neighbors that are not safe, and people would be afraid to sleep there at night. So the pashtus, or even a pop-up sukkah, even if it's built in your backyard. Some people cannot sleep there, which we'll discuss. You know, do we go by you or by everyone else? If a sukkah is not comfortable, it's too small, it could be yutfachma, because yutfachma around, and you used to sleeping on a nice mattress, you cannot fall asleep, you cannot get a good night's sleep, you are mitzar. Your sukkah is not a good sukkah. You cannot make a relationship with sukkah. Your bracha will be a bracha batala. You're not going to eat in your sukkah. The sukkah is mamish, not a good sukkah.
Wait. Mendy, I think we're conflating a few issues. If it's the din, the sukkah is not good because of listim or ganavim, which the Mechaber says is problematic, which is machlokes sapayskim, whether the Ramah says it isn't. But not having a comfortable mattress, the sukkah is a good sukkah. It's your mattress, isn't a comfortable mattress. You know what
okay,
I mean?
That's a very good point, and we'll get to that in a second. I'm asking to your point. Let's continue because we're going to get to that point. So now, what you have here is that you just mentioned, that Mishnah Berurah brings down from in Shaar Tzvi and Sifkat and Memala, from the Har Shalom and Prima Gadim to Bidoili Achronim, that from, even though a sukkah is Zion by Zion, we find that, you know, it's a good sukkah. You can't complain that I have to sleep bent over. Chazal said that's a good sukkah. But the Mishnah Berurah says from these Achronim that if you made your sukkah l'chatchila in a makim that I can't sleep comfortably, I know I can't sleep in a sukkah Zion by Zion. Zokta Nahar Shalom Prima Gadim, for you, your sukkah is possible. We go by you yourself. Everyone else can sleep in the sukkah. It doesn't make a difference. The Be'ish Kazeh Zoshna is im asa sukkah l'chatchila b'oifin shen yachal lifshet raglov ein yoyt at achila kivishu mitzah b'shina. That's what the Mishnah Berurah brings from these Achronim. Now, Mishnah Berurah takes them, he says, I don't understand it. He says, sounds like from the Gemara, not like them. Because the Gemara brings that Rav let Rav Acha Bardla sleep out of the sukkah because there's a lot of mosquitoes, and Rav allowed Rav Acha Bar Adla to sleep out of the sukkah for another reason. So it sounds like from the Gemara, he let them sleep out of the sukkah. It doesn't sound like the sukkah was possible. They were Yoytzi Yechiv in the sukkah for eating just at night. It was a special heter. So it sounds like, Dr. Mishnah Berurah, that we don't go by every individual is a sukkah. We go by a regular person. Shabura's lashon is the kivin de kuli alma ain't a mitzarim lishum sham gam hu yoytzah kopana b'achila mitzarachian. Shabura wants the mitzar they not like them. They say you go by every individual, even though everyone would sleep in a sukkah like this and they're comfortable. If you're not comfortable and you can't sleep at night and it's too small, you're not yoytzah. Dr. Mishnah Berurah, I have a raya from the Gemara and he brings from the Ran. It sounds like we don't go by you, we go by everyone else. But he says, Vitzorech Ian. So Shabura is not so posh, it's not simple to him. Allah Ma'isa, what to do? So give a pop-up sukkah, or even a sukkah in a restaurant in the area that I won't sleep there. So if you yourself wouldn't sleep there, you're too scared, then it's not a good sukkah for you. Now, it's not so posh, it's machlaik, it's Shabura, it's not so good. But let's say everyone won't sleep there. Most people won't sleep there. So then, even if Shabura is masking that the sukkah in the middle of Harlem, that everyone's petrified to sleep there for the life, and this pop-up sukkah or restaurant sukkah or even a shul sukkah, if it's a neighborhood that most people would be afraid to sleep there at night, the sukkah is not a good sukkah.
Oh, but you just have to struggle with that. We make our sukkahs in cold areas.
Right. So that's
but it brings the Mordechai that we're not called to sleep in cold areas, even though you can't sleep in the sukkah if it's in a very cold place, right?
Right. So that we already know that.
There's a prima goddam, it's the Epsher Ben Yenacher.
Right.
So if a guy lives in Holland, Ben Yenacher is the same thing.
Right. Okay, so if he lives, so again, you have to, it's not so clear. What does that mean? There's no other way. Let's say, what do we view as a city? You know, we down every city by itself. Do we down, you know, each neighborhood by itself? That's a good shayla. We down, let's say, one block in your area is very, people are very scared, next to the guy and whatever it is. But another block, you're not. So your block is obviously not going to be good. You have to maybe make a sukkah that's a block. But in Echanami, it's the whole city you're afraid of Galmelvim, or in Echanami, it's
so
cold.
So there's a Zera Emes that the Olam is
I'm about to get to the Zera Emes. That's amazing.
Yeah, okay.
The Zera Emes. So I found the Zera Emes in Simon Sadi Aleph. It's a big, big tshuva. Mamish, tens of pages. And in the tshuva, he brings mamish the same raya from the Mishabru from the Gemara from the Ran, and he has a lot of other rayas, and he passes halacha l'maisa like the Mishabru that we don't go by every individual. We don't go by you, but he says a little different than Mishabru. He's much more makel. He says that since there are miksas b'nei adam, his lashon is, that could sleep in a sukkah like this, like what you pointed out, this sukkah is a sukkah for sleeping, because people could sleep. Sukkah is right to sleep. You're afraid to sleep there. Most people are afraid. It doesn't make a difference up there, MS, as long as the sukkah is right for miksas b'nei adam. Now, we have to understand, which is very schwer, what does that mean, miksas? Does he mean to say you have a population of 100,000 people, you have five people that would sleep there? Does that make a miksas? Or it has to be a mit hamotzi, 5% we find by bugs, 10%? It doesn't stuck clear. He says miksas.
I think his vart is that he's saying the sukkah is a sukkah that is sleepable, right? If the fact that it's too cold, you're always going to find somebody, so you have to look at it, is it b'cheftza sleepable? The fact that it's cold, that doesn't mafkiyet shem sleepable. That's his vart. And the rai is that there's going to be somebody who will sleep in it, somebody who's exhausted, he has no place else to sleep.
My question is, let's say you're in the area that there's everyone's afraid, mamish petrified to sleep there. If you made a sukkah in
the DMZ zone between North Korea and South Korea, Pashas wouldn't be kosher because nobody's going to eat or sleep in it, yes.
But you'll find somebody out there.
But in Moscow, they were yaitza mitzvah sukkah. And in Siberia, they were yaitza mitzvah sukkah.
Right, okay. Right, so according to Zer, it sounds like,
L'maisa v'chatchila, it's better to make it b'kala hidurim, but l'maisa, there's no suffix that the people lived in Siberia, we ate some mitzvah sukkah.
I understand, but that's a different story, like you said before, because Yesh ben Yachir.
But even Yesh ben Yachir, what type of a heter is Yesh ben Yachir? I mean, since you can't, could you take a lemon if you can't find another fruit? I mean,
I'll tell you, there's an Aruch HaShulchan who explains in Yesh ben Yachir, says that it's teshu kein to do. Person's coming to a city and he's living, and he has a choice of living in an area, like you said, that's comfortable to sleep, or it's too cold or not too cold, and you chose an area that you can't sleep,
so,
it's a problem.
So it's sort of like the
city.
It's sort of like the Zera Emes's Svara. It's possible. It's related. Since it's possible, it doesn't lose its shame sukkah. Z.F. Sherbin Yenacher doesn't lose its shame sukkah.
I don't know. He's not saying yes. He's saying a difference whether it's right to sleep. If the whole area is cold or there's listing coming out everywhere at night, no one is sleeping there, then of course it's good sukkah because that's what should I do? There's no any acher. But if there isn't any acher, I can make my sukkah comfortable. But we don't go by yous up there. We go by other people would not be afraid. It's fine. Now the only problem is, and also this is brought down in the Beis Sharim and the Shut Har Kamel. But Lamaisa, the problem is Mishabura's lashon does not sound like Zera. Mishabura says that even the Kuli Alma will sleep in the sukkah. So you're also Yitzchak. That sounds like Mishabura. At least you need Raiv. Just Kuli Alma. Everyone else will sleep. So just because you're an Istanbul, you can't sleep here.
What do they do in Siberia? They made sukkahs in Moscow in the cold.
Again, because that's Yashra Binyan Achir. It's a different svara. It's a different svara. But if you're putting up your sukkah, you're eating in a restaurant, and this area happens to be very, very unsafe, or you bring your papa and you pop it up.
And
so I'm just trying to say that it's not so cautious.
It's also be embarrassed. People would be embarrassed to sleep in the street in a sukkah. So it's certainly not a lechatchila.
Right. So the point I want to make is that according to the Mishnah Berurah, it's very not simple to make a bracha. You have a Chacham Tzvi, you have a Zera Emes, someone who wants to make a bracha, there's water lion.
Right.
It's definitely not simple. And again, if you would find out that right people could sleep comfortably in a papa sukkah, then you could for sure make a bracha, but if right people won't, or it's an area that most people will not sleep, they're too afraid, or this restaurant sukkah, or even a shul sukkah, most people will not sleep, and according to the Shabruah, it's very not pashut, and I would say that you shouldn't make a bracha. Want to eat there and have no choice?
Let's pick one other thing, Nikku, that you wanted to talk about.
One other topic. Okay, let's go to one other. Let's talk about eating nowadays a full meal out of the sukkah, which if you're not eating any mezainos or pas, is there any hetzer to eat a full supper? Chicken, meat, the potatoes.
Somebody's gluten free.
Okay,
they're on a keto diet, and then
No, that's a different Shaila and Gansan. It's a different Shmuz because maybe this is his food, and if I review it like it's his bread, it's a different Shmuz. I want to go a regular person, me and you, for supper during the week. It's very common that we sit down for a supper. We don't wash. Many times during the week for supper, for lunch, we have a full meal. It doesn't have any tachshul chamishin min dog, it doesn't have any cookies and no washing. Shaila is in the Shulchan Aruch, it's clear, the Tavish Lama test, that if somebody is not eating a meal with just Basav Adagim, he is not Mukhiyat even the Sukkah. Now, Mishabura brings down from Nachroinim that there's a Rabbeinu Peretz has arrived from the Gemara that Basav Adagim, you're Mukhiyat to eat in the Sukkah. Now, the Rush argues on the, which we paskin, argues on the Rabbeinu Peretz, you're not Mukhiyat to eat Basav Adagim in the Sukkah. However, Mishabura says it's nothing to be Machmir. So now, if someone doesn't have a Sukkah nearby, or it's a little chilly outside, or just rained, I'm a little lazy to wash down to wipe down the Sukkah, you don't have to eat in the Sukkah. It's a tircha, a little tircha, it's nachin only. Now, but the shaila is, if you look in the Rush's Lashon, and the way the Torah brings it down, and the way the Bach explains it, and the Aruch HaShulchan, in the middle, the Rush says that you, Rabbeinu Peretz, hold Bas of the Dagas and Mechuyah from the Gemara, I don't like your Raya. And also he says, if you know that Achivas Arai, for example, someone eating less than a shear of Pas, less than of Kebeya or less, he's not Mechuyah to eat in the Sukkah. So we know that Arai is not Mechuyah in the Sukkah. So Zok the Rosh, even if you're eating a full meal of Bas of Adagim, that's always going to be Arai. Why? Because Ein Derech is Manenu, the Kaveya Sudasai, on these food. So even if your Kaveya is up the Rosh, it's always going to be Arai because it's not the normal way to eat a full meal of chicken and potatoes. So if you do that, Zok the Rosh, it's going to be like you're eating less than a shear. It's always going to be Arai, definitely not Mechuyah. That's what the Rosh says. That's what the Bach explains, and that's what the Aruch HaShulchan. The shaila is, nowadays, many people, derech is very common to eat a full meal for supper, for lunch, does not have the chamishas medium and things that you include in the sukkah. And according to the Rosh Hashanah, it is the derech of Zmanenu, especially in America, to eat a full meal. And therefore, it would sound like you would maybe have chayv to eat in the sukkah, not just nothing.
So would you make a bracha?
Now, 1 second. So let's get to that in a second. So on my side, I did research. And interesting that I did find that in the Orachama from Zundel Kreiser, Rabbi Moshe Steinbuch and the Chubas and Hagel, Chelak Aleph, Shalayin Ches, the Chubas Mekaz Yisrael, Elichas Eben Yisrael, Erl Yashiv is quoted in a few Svarim that he did, there is a Chiv to eat in the Sukkah. Now, Rabbi Chaim Kinevsky is quoted, I want to be the other side of a second, Rabbi Chaim Kinevsky is quoted in a few places that you're not Mechiv, he doesn't explain why, I don't know why, but I spoke to Shmuel Kamenetsky about this a few times, he felt that we're eating, we're fast eating nowadays, it's not a real Chashiv, a Suda, a real Suda is, you would sit down in a restaurant, you have guests over, you would serve the pas. I told him, I said, Rosh Hashiva, I don't think this is emes anymore. You go to a restaurant, unless you know it's a fancy restaurant, they serve you pas in the beginning, you don't eat usually. I told him, Rosh Hashiva, I don't think the matzias is like, and I asked around. It doesn't sound like that. It sounds like people have a normal meal. And I even took a survey, I asked over 30 people. I think 27 told me that it's common for them, like me and you, to eat a normal supper without
would you make a bracha? Would you make a bracha?
Oh, so now we're coming to a bracha. So Pashi would say it's not 100% Pashi, so Rechai Kinesi argues, and I sort of assume Orbach says not to make a bracha, but maybe
yeah,
he should.
But don't you have the Chayadama for this, don't you?
Right, so you do, 1 second, so Chayadama holds you make a bracha every time you come to the sukkah if you're not eating, if you're not going to be eating in this yeshiva.
Right,
but
so Chayra,
but I'll tell you,
Chayra, eating, being Kaveya Suda is certainly as good as not eating, right? So according to the Chayadama, you would make a bracha.
Right, but the problem with this is that we know by Pas Pekistin, right, regular cookies in the sukkah, we know what the famous Machlekes Mishabur brings down. If you're eating more than a Kebeya, you make a Leisha.
Right.
So Mishabur says it's the minigus that we do make a Leisha. But Mishabur says that it's a Shaila, a Sav Brachas Shaila. And therefore, to get out of Shaila, you should stay in the sukkah Zman Ma after you ate, and have in mind the Bracha also on the Yeshiva after you ate in the sukkah. The question is, why do you have to stay in the sukkah after you ate? The bracha to be chal on the yeshiva, you're middle of eating, you're also sitting. So some learn mahalach is because on the tzad that you're not mechuyev to eat pas pekis in the sukkah, the whole yeshiva is bustle because you're only sitting to eat. So if the chila is not mechuyev in the sukkah, so to the yeshiva is bustle. It's just a hechit temtzah of how to eat, and therefore you can't make a bracha on the yeshiva, and if you have this in the sukkah afterwards, that's some explain. So if that's true, you can't use the chayadim here because on the tzad you're not mechuyev. Nowadays, eat a full meal in the sukkah, you can't make a bracha on the yeshiva because unless you stay in the sukkah afterwards for a few minutes, otherwise you can't make a bracha.
I don't agree. I'm sorry, I don't agree. I think that these dinim of pasta baba kisses, somebody comes into the sukkah, he eats a mazainis and he runs out. So it's not a real kvias,
right?
The chayadam you wouldn't make, and so there's
right,
no din of bracha on.
Right, so that's
but if somebody
I was about
eats at a restaurant.
I'm asking.
Yeah, that's a real.
Yes, I'm asking. 200%. Let me explain what you're saying. I'm asking. I'm asking that to my house, Mishabur. I hold that doesn't mean like what I explained, that since you it's just a hechatinsa. I learned the Mishabur. If you look at Shuvah, which the Mishabur is quoting, you see clearly he's learning like what you're saying. That the reason why you can't make a leishiv on the sitting in the sukkah when you're eating past the kissing is because you're near for 2 minutes, like you're saying. How long does it take to eat two ragula? It's kazayis v'echias pras. V'echias pras is 3 or 4 minutes most parts can hold. To eat it, that means each kazayis, each kebaya is a minute to eat around. So to eat two cookies, to eat more than kebaya takes around a minute or the most 2 minutes. So that's not a chilas kaviya. That's not yeshivas kaviya. You can't make a bracha if you come to the sukkah for 10 seconds. But if you're eating a full meal, you're sitting in the sukkah for man maz at the mishra after you eat, that means you're sitting for a kaviya stick of time. Now how long? It's not clear in the Pesukim. Rebelski said over, and Shlomo Miller heard from him a few times, that it's not a time. It's more like what you're saying. You have to be kaveg yourself in the sukkah. Whatever you feel. So if someone's eating a full supper, and he's not rushing, like you just mentioned, and he's in the restaurant, or he's eating in his own sukkah for supper, he's not rushing, that's kaviyas. So in the chanami, you could make a bracha from the chai adam, you have the ga'inim, and therefore you would have both siruf and the sa'in chanami. If a person wants to make a bracha on his bus of the dogim or the supper, and he doesn't want to get out of the shayla eating mezainis, he doesn't have, he's not hungry, he's not in the mood, whatever the shayla is, and he wants to make a leishiv, he just has to make sure he's not rushing out. Have in mind the bracha is going on the achila and the yeshiva, and like he said, it's kaviyas is going on the achila and the marashach. The bracha is not levatala. That'll be the eighth of Tevet to get out. And I did see that Yasha was asked making a bracha in the sefer called Yad Nassim, Reb Ortner, is his father. He asked Yasha, and Yasha says, if the Metzias is in America, if they eat like this, if Metzias people eat like this, a full Suda, you can make a bracha. And Rabbi Sarah Blitzky, you pass like this also. But again, if you want to get out of the Shaila, as long as you're not rushing, you have you can make the bracha style in the Yeshiva anyways, and you can make a bracha if you want to.
Reb Mendy, thank you very much for explaining to us the sugya so clearly.
Okay, fine. Good job,
Stefan. Good job, Kolta.
You too, Kolta. Bye.
Joining us from Ramat Beit Shemesh in Eretz Yisrael is Rabbi Ari Enkin. He's author of the 9-volume set Dalad Amishel Halacha. He's a Talmud of Yeshiva Gedolah of Montreal. He's a Musmach from Reb Pinchas Hirschsprung, Reb Ephraim Greenblatt, Talmud also of Neri Yisrael. Welcome, Reb Ari.
Thank you, Rabbi Lichtenstein. Thank you so much for having me on the program.
Let me just share a story, my favorite Rabbi Hirschsprung story.
Okay.
I don't know if I said it on the air or not, but he was at a wedding, and the photographers were trying to get him to come into the pictures, but he was sitting there learning. He had a Gemara in front of him. So a few of them couldn't try. So the head photographer said, wait, I know how to get him. So he goes over to Rabbi Hirschsprung. He says, excuse me, Rabbi. So he looks up. He says, Rabbi Hirschsprung, we're doing pictures, and I know you don't want to interrupt your learning, but pictures are forever. So Rabbi Hirschsprung looks at the guy next to him, and he says, ich sitzte, ich lerne blatt gemara, and er sagt mir, as pictures are forever. In other words, in English, he said, I'm sitting here learning a blatt of gemara, and the photographer tells me that pictures are forever.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, beautiful.
My favorite Rabbi Hirschsprung story. Went around the yeshiva like the story around Lakewood. It was like, so Tommy, we're talking about showers on Yom Tov. And in Eretz Yisrael is probably less of an issue because you don't have 2 days Yom Tov. I guess occasionally you do. This year actually, you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, but except for that, it's
right.
Somewhat uncommon 2 days Yom Tov. So, but I know you've written and spoken about it, and you're a writer and a teacher of halacha. Tell us what you research and what's uncovered.
So let me tell you, I've been very interested in this topic, not only sharing on Yom Tov, but I've become a bit of an address for a lot of hygiene issues and that world of issues. I would call myself an instantist, and I'm the type of guy that's got to be clean, probably more than most people, and we wouldn't call it OCD, but I'm into hygiene, and therefore hygiene and halacha is something that interests me tremendously. I spent a lot of time, brushing teeth on Shabbos and relative, things related to hygiene. So regarding showering on Yom Tov, I want to subscribe to the views that showering on Yom Tov is completely permissible. Because nowadays, just like back then, we were allowed to wash our hands, face, and feet, pun of Yadav v'raglav on Yom Tov, because that was Shav l'chol nefesh. That was considered something vital. Everyone washed their hands, face, and feet every day. But a shower, going a week with a shower wasn't a problem. But nowadays, we need showers, and we do shower every single day. And hence, I think it's a very simple application of the Gemara, of the Rishonim, that showering daily today is what Panav Yadav Raglav was back then. And showering, using warm water to shower on Yontif, should be completely permissible.
The questions, so there's a few questions. Number one is, how do we know that Shava L'chol Nefesh is a changing barometer and it's not an absolute?
Okay, so there's things like Shava L'chol Nefesh is what, the street. We follow what the street does. There's many areas in halacha that society actually decides what the halacha is. I'll give you an example, a bit of an extreme example, but what is Beged Ish and what is Beged Isha? You know, if a man wears a ring, sure, in many circles, a man doesn't wear a ring. But to say that he's over Beged Isha would be ludicrous, because we know that today males wear rings. It's common, it's normative, it's mainstream. Even like go further, an earring. If a man wears an earring, it's not something we want our people to do. Or in our circles, we don't look very favorably on a man wearing an earring. But if a person did, is he oiver beged ish beged isha? Is it? No, probably not. Because today men wear earrings, women wear pants. Of course, we don't want our daughters wearing pants. Don't get me wrong for a second. But to say that a woman who does wear pants is oiver nisur d'oraisa every second she's wearing pants is almost silly. There might be tznius issues. I'm not going there. But we see there are things that halacha allows society to define as what is normative. There's a law in the United States of America that a prisoner must be given a shower every single day. In fact, 24 hours, if I'm not mistaken, is written in the code. Every 24 hours, a prisoner has to be given a shower. Otherwise, it's a form of inhuman treatment and all these adjectives that they use to describe, you know, mistreatment and terrible conditions. So we see that even society requires or encourages a shower to be taken every day. Halacha acknowledges that. Halacha accepts that as being normative. And the reality is today, everyone does shower in our circles. Israel, America, everyone showers pretty much every 24 hours. I mean, when shavers came out, just one more example of how the street society can define what's Beged Ish, Beged Isha. When shavers first came out and men were going clean shaven, there was an opinion that is us because of lo silbash. Women don't have smooth faces, not men, but it became the norm that the men were shaving, Jews and non-Jews, and became normative, and therefore it's no longer in the world of Beged Ish, Beged Isha.
Okay, I mean,
so we do see.
Yeah. The question with Birabari is like, you know, for example, you're right. Let's say Lagabe Beged Ish, there's Rias from Chaz. But there are places where, for example, we just spoke about Chol of Stam. So the Chassam Sofer's opinion was, even though Batla Hatam, the Gzeira still blibes, and you need Gadol B'menu B'minyan. So we have to tread a little bit carefully and figure out what falls into Batla Hatam, Loi Batla Gzeira, and where the other one is Batla Hatam, Batla Gzeira. That was my only question, and I remember
fully
correctly.
Agree.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's one thing, but we see in the Rishonim, Shava L'chol Nefesh is changing. Even until Echronim, when smoking came out, everyone was smoking on Yom Tov. Shava L'chol Nefesh.
That's a good riot. That is a good riot.
Okay.
That place can bring that smoking has changed. And additionally, if I remember correctly, the Sharat Siyan in Tavkuf Yod Aleph says that today, he says, maybe Raglav is not Shava L'chol Nefesh because people don't wash their feet. So if you see that it changes l'chumra, it could also change l'kula. In other words, you see that it's not an absolute, but it depends on what's happening at that time. But that
exactly.
would be a raya, yeah. So which of the paiskim have you now? Wait, but you're only there are two problems just for the olam. Let me just there's a machlokes. I'm not sure if it's a machlokes. There's a machlokes rishayim. The Rambam holds that the iser is because of gzeiras merchatzais.
Right.
And Tosfos holds that the Isser is because of Shava L'chol Nefesh. So according to the Rambam, it's a Drabban. And according to Tosfos, it's a Deraita. If it's not Shava L'chol Nefesh, it's an Isha Bishol. So you're
right,
saying that...
Right, that's the Beitza Chafalef, right? Beitza Chafalef.
Yeah. So according to that, your Tam goes like Tosfos, that is Shava L'chol Nefesh. You're saying, look, today, it's clearly Shava L'chol Nefesh, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
According to the Shitas HaRambam, which is how the Beis Yosef goes... That it's all Gzeiras Merchatzos. For Gzeiras Merchatzos, Shava L'chol Nefesh won't change it. You would still have that problem.
Perhaps, but do we have Merchatzos today? Is the home residential bathroom and shower Merchatzos? Many shitas hold that Merchatzos is only the public bathhouse where other people are heating the water and have Then we had the Gzeiras HaBalanim. They can't bathe because we're worried they're heating up on Yontif, on Shabbos. So it could be that we don't have Merchatzos Bichlal today. And that being said, we won't get into it. Don't want to upset our Hasidish listeners, but going to a mikvah Shabbos morning, a hot mikvah Shabbos morning, is not pashut.
No, it's a very big cooler.
Yeah.
It's really a very, very big cooler.
Yeah, to say the least. So to take a shower where it might, you know, there's so many reasons to be lenient, and it's mitzvah, it's kovid yontif, simchas yontif. I mean, I'll give you an example.
No, I think respectfully that even though that's a very big cooler, if I remember correctly, it's based on a carbon ethanol, right?
Right, that's right.
And the carbon ethanol says that for mikveh they were not geyser, right? That is, which would not apply to taking a shower because it's shavu l'chol nefesh. So you are pointing out a very big kula in showers, but in mikveh, but it doesn't really help us. I mean, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. That's my own.
Yeah.
But I would just say that your suggestion that today we don't have merchatzos, which you said is I see Reb Avadya Yosef in the Chazon Avadya goes with that similar idea.
Right.
Merchatzos. He says merchatzos are public merchatzos. They're not in a private house. And by the way,
right.
Interesting to note, I just did a little research for myself. Showers in residential homes were not really commonly installed until the 1950s. Astonishing. Like, we take hot water and hot showers as something that's a norm. It's from the 50s. I mean, that means your grandparents didn't have it.
Exactly.
Your parents, depending on how. So which Paiskim would you cite have taken your opinion on this? Or which, I should say, who are you citing when you say that you hold it's Lakula? Who are you using as sort of like a, you know, as a Makoyer? Besides, I know you have Smicha, you said from Rav Hirschsprung in Yoyri Yoyri Yadin Yadin, and from Rav Ephraim Gleinbrat, Yoyri Yoyri Yadin Yadin. But notwithstanding that, it's we have a show that's listened to by thousands of people all around the globe. Would you cite any Paiskim that you've spoken to about this?
Okay, so make no mistake, just because I have smicha, this kind or that kind from that person, that doesn't mean I know everything. So let's make that very clear that I have a lot to learn in life.
Okay.
Which Paiskim say blanketly you can take a shower as normal? Not that I've spoken to personally, but Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz is on record saying mutter l'chatchila. I heard Rabbi Willig said it's mutter l'chatchila. And what I do is, I mean, I'm saying it's right or wrong, but I say that it's mutter based on my own research, tackling each of the issues involved, the hot water, the squeezing the hair, drying, and I've built up and examined each of these issues, and in those issues you find those who are leaning to allow it, and you put it all together, there's a very strong argument to allow it. So we had this great poskim on either side of the debate, and we don't want to have to turn into a popularity contest that I take a shower because 10 poskim say, or I don't because 12 poskim say. It's not about that. It's about what is right for you, okay? And we have great poskim on both sides of the debate. But from a personal perspective, like I said, I researched each of the 5, 6, 7 halachic issues that come out of showering on Yontif, and in each of those issues, I feel quite confident that there's strong ground.
How did you come out with schita, the problem of schita basar?
Okay, so Schita Basar is, I mean, even the Mishnah Berurah talks about it, that when there's a din mefarek that's lo nichale, it's not a problem. Okay, we have the famous, the Shulchan Aruch, it's Shin Chaf, I think it's Halacha Yud Zayin, with the plug in the barrel, that we say it's okay, that even though you put the plug in the barrel, some of the wine drips out from the cloth plug into the floor, it's okay, lo nichale, that goes to waste. When you towel dry your hair, which is relevant to those who go to the mikveh every Shabbos morning, when you towel, you pat your hair dry, the water is going to nothingness. The water, you pat your hair, you don't squeeze it, but you pat your hair dry. The water is not seen, it's not used, it's gone to waste, and there is no problem.
I understand.
We know women go to the mikveh on Shabbos, and what do? They pat dry their hair. Men go to the mikveh on Shabbos, they pat dry their hair. So it seems to be the norm, whether you look at for a woman going to a mikveh or a man going to a mikveh every Shabbos morning, patting the hair with a towel is quite normative and quite acceptable.
Okay. Well, Rabbi Yankin, thank you very much, and we'll continue publishing your Sfarim. We enjoy them.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Kol tov, a good year. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You're a good year.